Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, most of y'all have got your car keys like sitting by your desk. You're ready to move towards the car, heading home to get into that go-home traffic. And you may be thinking, what am I doing for dinner? I'm going to make a suggestion to you. Just Love Coffee Cafe. They've got like all their new staff is fully trained. They finished up some things they were doing that were tying up some of their hours over at the Huntsville location. They are back online. I ate there this past weekend. Charlene and I did. Met our daughter there for lunch on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, that menu is worth checking out. The sandwiches, the salads, all of it. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. You want breakfast? Get you a womelet. A womelet is an amazing omelet. Just try that for dinner. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes Charlene and I like breakfast for dinner. And I'm just saying, you can have breakfast, lunch, dinner menu all day long at Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Please check them out. Great place. Love, Just Love Coffee. All right, hey, listen, I got somebody held on the phone during the break, and I appreciate that very much. Line two, Matt from Huntsville. Hey, Matt, Phil Williams on Right Side. Thanks for holding on. How are you?
Hey, Phil, thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely.
Hey, I spoke to a smart congressman locally just a month ago regarding the possibly putting in the NDAA, the discharge or honorable discharge or other than honorable discharge.
Right.
And the recommendation from the congressman was that nothing should be put in the NDAA, because if you ask for or you require a honorable discharge, then you're saying that you agree with the mandate. Appreciate what your thoughts on that and what we should do going forward.
Interesting. So I'm sure he was a smart congressman. I'm not sure why he would say it that way. To me, you cover down on your contingencies. I'm a firm believer in covering your contingencies. And so if the NDAA says, in the event of a vaccine mandate decline, that a service member is being detached, then they should not receive a dishonorable discharge. I don't see any fault in that, because it's contingency-based. It's not one of those things that you're saying, we accept the vaccine mandates, therefore we will accept, you know. All it's saying is, if they press forward with this policy, then we will not do it this way. And it's an if-then. And so, hey, Matt, thanks for the call, man, and also appreciate you hanging on. But no, that's my response. What do you think about that, though? I mean, contingency based. I don't see why you wouldn't put it in there. Did we lose that?
I just hope that it's not a fail safe.
Yeah, and I would hope not too, but I don't think so. I think any number of times in state law in Montgomery, we passed legislation that was contingency based. It was designed to prevent certain things from happening. Some would say, oh, it's not a problem yet. Well, yes, it is. It's a problem in other places. We don't want it to be a problem here. That's why we're putting it in our legislation. So, hey, Matt, thanks for the call, man. You have a great day. Yeah. All right, folks, listen, if you want to call in, I'll take some more calls, 866-494-9866, 866-494-9866 here on Right Side Radio. I'm going to switch gears. I told you I would, and it's been hard to get to it because the rest of the show was so full. I mean, good Lord, I spent almost an hour talking about the woke carnival sideshow and all the things that are happening that are just belligerently just unusual. And it's like I said before, it's like they don't even see themselves sometimes, and they have no reflection. Like what Copper laughed when I said a woke vampire. But the woke carnival sideshow. The next thing I did was talking about military and first responders and what the vaccine mandates are doing to them. And the one I'm going to talk about now is foreign policy. Foreign policy, I mean, I'm sitting here, as a matter of fact, okay, here we go, talk about being timely. Sitting here in the studio, I got the big screen going, and there it is. It's on the screen right now, China's Premier Xi and President Joe Biden did a, what would you call this today? It was a Zoom meeting, basically, and I get that. It's hard to travel sometimes in modern technology. Why would you not? However, I think it's a little bit dicey, because then they can record everything. They can edit it sometimes. They can try to show themselves talking to you in a certain light on both sides of the ocean, and pretend that it was something that it wasn't. All said and done, apparently it was a big fat nothing burger for us, but the China is believing that they've already got it going on. So I'm looking at this story right now on Fox. They're talking about it. if you remember, like Joe Biden wants to distance himself from the China connections. A lot of it's related to his Hunter Biden stuff. A lot of it's related to his prior relationships. And so Biden has recently said that he and Xi are not at all close. We're not at all close. Well, Xi's playing chess with the man. He's playing chess with a man who's trying to play checkers. And Xi gets on, and the first thing he does is greet Biden and call him his old friend. He knew exactly what he was doing. And it's almost to the point where it's embarrassing to watch President Biden have laps run around him constantly. And that's what's happening with our foreign policy. In my opinion, am I a career diplomat? No. Do I want to be? No. But I'm just viewing this from an outside perspective and knowing what I want our country to be viewed like in the rest of the eyes of the rest of the world, and it ain't there. Story on FoxNews.com right now that literally just came out in the last few hours. China claims that Biden denounced Taiwan independence, but goes on to warn that the U.S. is playing with fire. Claims that Biden denounced... Okay, so interpretation differences are there right now on this whole one China policy about Taiwan. And I saw General Kellogg this morning on the news. General Kellogg said that he fully expects that when the Olympic Games in China in Beijing are over, we better keep our eyes on Taiwan, because he believes that the level of aggression that we've been seeing means that Taiwan is at great risk as soon as China's off the world stage with the Olympics. China doesn't want to jeopardize the investment they put into the Olympics right now. But they've been aggressively pursuing a posture of defiance when it comes to Taiwan. And they do not see Biden as being someone who they fear at all. And so right now what we're looking at is China came out today, after the Zoom meeting with Biden, and denounced Taiwan independence and warned that the U.S. is playing with fire in the South China Sea. That's the result of a Zoom meeting with the president that immediately thereafter they felt bold enough and had a lack of concern about our posture to immediately come out and claim that Taiwan should not be independent and warned that the U.S. is playing with fire. This followed an hours-long summit, it says, between Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping, that marked the most extensive talks the two world leaders have had since Biden took office. Yes. Wow. I saw one article that said that Biden did not take a firm stance on pretty much anything. Well, so I got two separate articles. Talk about competing viewpoints. Whew. And yet not. So I've got one article here by a guy named Stephen Walt. He's a columnist at Foreign Policy Magazine, but he's also... he's a professor of international relations at Harvard University. That should mean something, right? Oh my gosh, when you read it, I'm sitting here reading the article. I've got it highlighted. It was hard because I'm a conservative and he is obviously not. But he talks about, when Joe Biden became president, many assumed his administration would manage America's relations with other countries in a disciplined, predictable, and sophisticated way. The era of self-defeating swagger and diplomacy by tweet would be over, and responsible public servants will be back in charge. Okay, lead off, he's a liberal. The interesting thing is, he goes on to say, and he talks about, and he even says it in here, that that the Trump administration, in his opinion, had been manned by a group of neophytes and oddballs. That's his words. And then he goes on to talk about, though, there was every reason to expect a smoothly functioning foreign policy operation in the Biden administration. Then he threw on the brakes and said, it hasn't quite worked out that way. This is the liberal. This is the guy who couldn't stand Trump. This is the guy who obviously voted for the guy who campaigned from his basement. He goes on to say, now to be fair, okay, quick caveat, to be fair, diplomatic success has rarely happened overnight. Making genuine lasting progress on big issues usually requires sustained and patient effort over many months, if not years. And then he has this little, dweeby thing to say, by this time in George W. Bush's presidency, he had done essentially nothing for which he's now remembered except to be president when the 9/11 attacks occurred. Yeah, that was a big hairy deal, dude. And how he responded to that is a whole lot different than Al Gore would have. Thank you very much. But the bottom line, he said, is no serious person should expect foreign policy miracles in a president's first year in office. And then he drops the bomb. Nonetheless, he says, certain aspects of Biden's performance are worrying, leading more than a few observers to make unflattering comparisons to his undistinguished predecessor. That'd be Trump. So what I'm saying here is even liberals right now are beginning to go, oh, crap, because they're seeing that foreign policy is falling apart under the Biden administration because they are positioning themselves for weakness. I've said it multiple times on this show that in the exertions of foreign policy, you have to have all aspects of policy negotiation on the table. Use the acronym DIME, D-I-M-E. Diplomacy, that's your State Department. Information or intelligence, military and economic. And if you go in saying one or two or three or any of those are off the table, you've automatically hamstrung your ability to have leverage. And the Biden administration has no leverage. Nikki Haley blasts the Bidens. I'm looking at a story. This came off Fox. Nikki Haley, former governor of, South Carolina and ambassador to the United Nations. Nikki Haley blasts Biden's failed foreign policy ahead of that virtual summit with Xi Jinping. She went on to say, President Biden's failed foreign policy has the world questioning his judgment. Anything short of defending Taiwan's democracy, calling out China's genocide, and demanding answers as to why China is funding the Ayatollah by importing Iranian oil is weakness. Well, guess what? None of those things happened. So in the eyes of Nikki Haley, who is far more conservative than the dude from Harvard that I just read from a moment ago, it's a complete failure. But even the dude from Harvard, who can't stand President Trump and all of what he called the oddballs who staffed his administration, he recognizes things ain't going well. Copper, take us to a short break. We'll come back. I'll wrap that up, and you guys can get on for the day. I had a whole batch of stuff. I'm not even going to get to it. I mean, did you know that Iran is so unconcerned about us that they flew one of their helicopters alongside the USS Essex, one of our amphibious assault ships in the Gulf of Oman? I mean, literally flew along the deck and then posted the video on YouTube. That's Iran. That's our Navy. That's our foreign policy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and, yep, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you're on my social media, the thing that I wind up using the most is Twitter. I actually posted some photos that my daughter's boyfriend, Logan, put together for me from Just Love Coffee Cafe when we ate there this past weekend. So check it out. You'll get a clear image of what the environment there is like. And that was when Travis, I said it yesterday on the show, Travis from Just Love Coffee was giving me sort of a class on how to do pour over coffee, which I'm trying to become more sophisticated with my coffees. But that was very cool. So yeah, thank you to Logan for putting the pictures together for me. They are up on my website. I got a caller. I'll go ahead and take that here in the last few minutes of the show. Melvin from Decatur. Hey, Melvin, Phil Williams from Right Side. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for taking my call. I just had a couple of questions, little short questions.
Yes, sir.
What do you call what Trump wanted Pence to do? What do you call that?
What are you referring to?
When he asked him to not to count or whatever. You don't know what I'm talking about?
You talking about with regards to certifying the vote?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he was asking him to not certify the vote, which Pence said that he felt like constitutionally he didn't have that authority.
What do you think Trump wanted the people to do when they entered the Capitol?
I don't think Trump wanted them to do anything inside the Capitol. I think that's the fallacy right now, is that people think they've gotten inside of Trump's head and they've decided that he orchestrated what they want the world to believe was an insurrection. Now, were there times when it was riotous? Yes. Was it wrong? Yes. But I don't think for a second you're going to ever find someone who's going to believe that the Constitution of the United States, to which the President of the United States was sworn to defend and uphold, was violated by him orchestrating some kind of a crime against our government. I think that's a fallacy, and if that's what you believe, then I believe you're wrong.
So you don't think he should take any responsibility for what happened on that day?
Do I think that the man who gave a speech and then went back to his office should take responsibility for a very highly volatile situation occurring at the Capitol building? You want to assign blame. I mean, you can stop asking me questions and just say what you think. You think Trump's guilty, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I think him and Mo Brooks both should be in prison.
Well, I think that's correct.
Even though I voted for him.
I mean, that's absolutely not the law, sir. If you can find me a place in the law or a piece of evidence that supports your contention, I'll be glad to look at it. But right now, what we have is a media-inspired story that is trying to create the fabrication that this was an insurrection and that it was something that was orchestrated in the background by the powers that be. And I don't believe that at all. I think what happened was there was a spur-of-the-moment sense of groupthink that caused a bunch of people to do something they shouldn't have done. But I don't think for a minute that our elected officials orchestrated behind the scenes to get this to happen. I don't think anybody's going to wind up ever going to jail for that.
I agree with you on that, and I think you use the right terminology, the groupthink, and I think President Trump was the reason for the groupthink. Thank you so much for taking my...
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, Melvin. Thank you for calling in. And by the way, call in any time. I don't mind somebody disagreeing with me, but I don't agree with that at all. I don't think there's anybody that's going to wind up saying that Mo Brooks should be in jail successfully in a court of law. All right, well, that's a heck of a way to end the day. Hey, listen, folks, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, and we'll do it again tomorrow. In fact, I got some of the stuff that I had planned for the day that I'll probably have to put on tomorrow's show. It's been that full of a calendar. All right, folks, listen, we got lots doing, and coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. I'm excited to be a part of this show with you. It's an honor to have this platform. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll see you tomorrow.